You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well, guess they can't.
Good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, which coincidentally happens to be the All Warrior Radio Network. Happy Halloween to everybody. Yeah. Or All Hallows Eve, as it's known to we Catholics, who invented it. That's right, we invented Halloween. So the Catholics get a bad rap for a lot of stuff, okay? But yeah, all the crazy costume stuff, that's us. So don't be afraid to say thank you. So I'm watching the news, and I see this commercial. Fox News is running this segment about a commercial that's airing in the Virginia governor race, and it shows these children of color walking home, and they're being chased by a black pickup truck that has a Confederate flag on it and a bumper sticker for the Republican candidate. And so they're doing a, you know, there's this thing, is this over the top? You know, the guy who's running, and his name is irrelevant, but, I mean, he's a Republican candidate. He's a mainstream Republican candidate. And so you have, like, the two talking heads, right? And, you know, one of the things, I guess it's their job, but how do you defend that? That that's somehow or other appropriate political discourse. And yet, somebody comes on and defends it and says, oh, that's entirely appropriate. And, you know, so I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm thinking, this is making me angry already this morning. It's like not even 7 o'clock yet. I think we are, like, officially a broke country. And we're just going through the process of getting more and more broke. But we're broke as a nation. Officially, McNamara has officially pronounced us broke, and you need no more evidence just of the nightly cuts from pick one, McConnell, Ryan, Pelosi, Schumer, the bloviating bullshit that comes out of their mouth, you know, and throw the president in there as well. All signs. Oh, and don't forget Hillary Clinton on her book tour. She can't go away, right? She's getting paid not to go away. So, meanwhile, the business of the nation, restoring the economy, you know, revving up our economic engine so people can get better jobs, so people can make more money, so people have hope of upward mobility, which they're rapidly losing on our nation for the first time in our nation's history. The grim economic reality that we will not, people my age, will not pass along a better and brighter economic future to their children. First time in American history. All signs of a broke country. So I've officially now pronounced it broke. Question is, how much longer is the descent before somehow or other something either rectifies it or rescues us? Yeah. And that's why I see, I, you know, again, I don't sit down and think about this stuff in one continuum, but, You know, Donald Trump is a necessary event. His iconoclastic, non-traditional, you know, I'll deal with Democrats, I'll deal with Republicans, I'll deal with whoever helps me. That kind of iconoclastic way seems to me necessary to rescue the nation from its nonsense. Another thing I want to talk about, you know, I yesterday's story, right, about the commissary at 29 Palm reopens, right? There's no mention in any of it that somebody got fired. Somebody's been replaced. Riddle me that, Batman. Twenty Nine Palms commissary reopens after rodent infestation. Military.com. 29 Palms commissary reopens after rat problem cleanup. A couple weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago to the day, commissary at 29 Palms still closed thanks to rodents. So, the question becomes, who's in charge of that? And why haven't I seen their name? And why haven't I seen that somebody has been fired? A rat problem? Are you kidding me? Or what, we can't touch a federal employee because they've got rights? So I was thinking about that. So let me get this straight. It got closed because of a rat infestation problem. How was that discovered? It was discovered by patrons who pointed out that something was eating the produce that was getting put out for them to purchase. The rodents were also have found to have been in the bakery / deli roaming around. So how many people out of McCaxey ingested food that had been excreted upon, had been partially eaten by, had rat droppings contaminating it? And who's in charge of that? And what is their work status right now? Amazing to me. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And what I was looking for is a local story. And there's one in the... There's one in the High Desert Star. And there's stories... The story is actually by PFC Margaret Gale. Yeah. So, again... Who's in charge of that? And why aren't they, why haven't I read a headline about that? So anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll check news headlines. And then the important testimony yesterday relative to the future of defense reauthorization. Are we going to do it under the same resolution that we've been doing it for 16 years, or is that going to have to be redone? So Secretary, as is our custom, Secretary Tillerson, Secretary Mattis testified yesterday, and as opposed to listen to the bloviating and reporters interpreting that and writing stories of that, in keeping with the Almarin Radio philosophy, maybe you should hear it from the horse's mouth, and that way you can decide and be smart about it. Maybe you should do that. So that's my thought anyway. So we'll check the news of the day. I watched the interview that what's her face did. She started a new show last night. Can't remember her name, but she did with the chief of staff of the White House, John Kelly, general type, United States Marine Corps. And he didn't say anything new or anything exciting. They kind of replowed old ground. Wasted opportunity, in my opinion. Yeah. Laura Ingraham. So, yeah, you can watch it. I was underwhelmed because Kelly's an interesting guy. He's an interesting guy. And so she asked if he would apologize, blah, 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 blah. He said, no, I have nothing to apologize for. So, you can check that out, but I would venture to say that you will be, as I was, underwhelmed. The other story, two women rescued, and they had a beacon on their boat that they didn't turn on for 5 months, supposedly. So, interesting little tidbit about that story. I don't really understand what happened. They looked to be, for people that were lost at sea, they looked to be fit. You know, I mean, in the pictures that I've seen, so that's kind of an odd little story. And then the president's getting ready to go to Asia, so that will come with all the theatrics that accompany Donald Trump wherever he goes. So it'll be interesting as the spotlight gets focused onto the Western Pacific as the president heads in that direction. And as you know, we're faking it a little bit with three aircraft carriers out there. I wonder how robust each carrier air wing is. Are we splitting aircraft, or did we surge every aircraft we had to get on to get this thing going? Okay, because if they did, that's a fair number of aircraft, and especially for the F-18 community to fly with its readiness issues. So that in the news today, the World Series. Game 6 coming up. Justin Verlander goes tonight. So the Dodgers, yeah, they're a little bit of a. There was a big here on the West Coast. There was a big discussion yesterday about are you poised or panicked? A lot of people panicked in Los Angeles, and they said, hey, look, normally I wouldn't be panicked, but Justin Verlander, come on, and so. To me, the question is, Justin Verlander really has too much going in the right direction. Is the God who governs sports going to allow that? Is he going to allow Justin Verlander to, you know, be engaged to Kate Upton and then to go undefeated since he joins the Houston Astros and go undefeated in the World Series? Isn't that a bit much? I don't think that God works like that. At least he doesn't do it very often. So the Dodger faithful is quite rightly panicked. Yeah, they're not convinced that they will do it. The other thing that hasn't panicked is that the management of their baseball team has not gone well. And the leadership, many questions about the moves they've made. So they're not real happy about that either. They think they should certainly be in a different position in this series. And they think they've managed their way. They've managed themselves into this thing themselves. So it's interesting. So, yeah, much anticipated game. You know what? The other thing that on my radar that pisses me off when I saw the story, and that is this. So an NFL owner in a meeting last week says, we can't have the inmates running the prison. He uses that figure of speech. Okay, so black players took offense to that. So it wasn't the figure of speech. It was that, well, blacks are disproportionately members of our prison population, so obviously he's referring to us, yada, 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 yada. Okay. So he says he wasn't, and he apologizes. But what do you think? They sit down and they put their heads together, and how are we going to register our protest with this comment from our owner as football players on the Houston Texans? Of all the things that we could do, what are we going to do? Yeah, I got it. More of us will be disrespectful during the national anthem. So it seems like now whenever somebody's upset, the go-to card is, let's be disrespectful. And I just looked at it and I'm like, what the hell, man? Why don't you guys do something relative to him? Why do you point as the object of your ire the flag? How does that make sense to me? So, the NFL, I mean, just go away already. Just stupid on top of stupid on top of stupid. And they can't get out of it either. They can't get out of it. So, like, and the other thing, the other, just a little interesting, the NBA has stayed away from this whole issue. Much discussion during the preseason, but the NBA has stayed away from this whole controversy. Kind of interesting. Now, I don't know if they have sat down and talked about watching the NFL's business suffer, and it is. There's an article written that ESPN will no longer be able to afford football. That ESPN is a dead man walking yesterday. It written by people that follow that industry, saying that the NFL is going to want more money. ESPN doesn't own anything of value. All they are is a pass-through conduit. Yeah, and they will not be able to raise their rates because I guess ESPN commands the highest premiums on in cable, like $7 per month from every cable's prescriber is ESPN, and then those monies then in turn go to NFL football contracts, college football contracts, all the rest of that stuff. That's how that works. So all that big money that's getting paid, yeah, you're paying it. Whether you watch or not, you're paying it. So in order for your cable provider to provide you all those channels, ESPN's got to be one of them, so they've got to pay. So how do they spread that cost out? They spread it to everybody. That's right. So, the gist of the article is the NFL will want more money. ESPN is already laying off. They just completed a third round of layoffs this year, and they will continue in that direction, streamlining their business in order to provide at lower cost the things that they provide. And that they are going to try to develop different entertainment because much like MTV, when the videos all went to YouTube, they were out of business. And so you saw them, you know, attempt to recreate themselves with things like Jackass and other programming. Yeah, trying to keep the franchise up. So that evidently is the fate of ESPN, which is kind of interesting in terms of business. So, all right, enough of that. Good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. We'll check Marine Corps headlines coming up here next. Happy Halloween. Good morning to you. I'm not motivated today, so this is more for me than you.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Sunny and 51 in Quantico. Sunny and 58 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds and 50 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds and 35 in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms, cloudy and 60 degrees. Pendleton, cloudy and 60. Okinawa, cloudy, dark and 73. Rocca's got rain in the land of the crescent. Rocca. Marsha clear. Marsha's always the same. Dark, clear, and tonight, today, 76 degrees as the sun goes down there. At the home of All Marine Radio, mostly cloudy and 63. Headed for 68 today. 20% chance of rain. What? Unbelievable. Just saw a headline. Bo Bergdahl testifies before he's sentenced. How does the Army not throw the book at that jackass? Oh, he's got issues. Oh, we all got issues. Yeah, I got issues. I got big issues. Bo Bergdahl. Yeah, people that went out and got injured and jacked up. They testified here the last few days. So, yeah, how do they not throw the book at him and send him away forever? And then, you know, and again, the Army, different culture. And so you look at this whole Bergdahl thing, the guys who were there, some of them had to sign non-disclosure agreements so that they wouldn't talk about the truth. What was the truth? He probably shouldn't have been there. And then he walks off his post. And then other people get injured. So is the Army culpable and all that? Is he at all culpable and all that? Probably not, because we're all victims, right? You don't have to be responsible. You're a victim. So, yeah, Bo Bergdahl. We'll see when that thing gets adjudicated. Trust me, we'll be on it. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, news headlines. Check what the Marine Corps Times has going on, and check the early bird. More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Johnny Mellencamp. I wanted to read an email from yesterday. About the NFL. Screw Goodell. He's made the NFL a laughingstock. Weekly games in the United Kingdom just to sell some satellite subscriptions and a few more jerseys. Think about the cities that lose those home games and all the people that depend on those games for their income. Yeah, Roger Goodell fighting for his job, as well he should. I mean, think about the Ray Rice incident. That guy got nothing. And they tried to play stupid about that video. And then the whole nation sees it. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like any crisis that comes his way. You know, and that's why I'm looking at the whole commissary thing. That's a big deal. So let me read you the story about the McCaxey Combat Center. And again, this is written by a PFC. All right, so Margaret Gale. Probably right out of what the combat correspondence school or whatever we have these days. The Combat Center's commissary reopened its doors Saturday following a week-long closure caused by a health code violation that was discovered after a routine inspection. After the health code violation was reported, officials from the Defense Commissary Agency and the installation's command worked diligently to restore the facility to the standards the patrons expect and deserve. So let me ask you a question. How bad does it have to be for the patrons to notice that that their food has been chewed already? Okay, now, as the employees, though, they walk around the back. For the patrons to notice this stuff in what they're purchasing, what does that look like in the back of the store? That'd be rats everywhere. So there's no mention of any, like, anybody got fired or any of the rest of us. A customized integrated management training plan was implemented for the store to take into account the environment in which it operates. There's no mention who's the manager of the store. The plan includes proactive measures such as making sure store entries are properly closed when not in use, providing proper training for employees, and promptly cleaning up spills. During the reopening celebration, the commissary held a plethora of sales throughout the store, along with opportunities to enter a raffle and win prizes. Okay. The safety, health, and well-being of Combat Center patrons remains of the utmost importance to the commanding general, Major General William F. Mullen III, and his staff. The Combat Center will continue to ensure the highest quality resources are provided to families. Come on, man. What a joke. What an absolute joke. So who's in charge and why didn't they get fired? Huh? Batman? Somebody? I don't get it. I don't get it.
If you do a search on 29 Palms Commissary, out of 5 stars, it gets 4.5 stars. Yeah. How about that? Reviews. Amazing selection. Great sandwiches in the deli. Low prices. Very clean. Another one. Then again, I am a bit picky about the food I choose to consume. Did somebody neglect to tell anybody that there's rats in that thing? Yeah, it's clown-like. So anyway, I need to make a few phone calls and get somebody. But you know what? Here's the incredible thing about the DOD. They just say no. Sorry, don't want to do it. Yeah, don't want to do it. And I don't mean just these people. Just these people. I mean, general officers. Hey, look, man. Nothing good's going to happen if I speak to you. The only thing that's going to happen is I'm probably going to get in trouble. So that's from the High Desert Star. I didn't know the High Desert Star took Marine Corps propaganda. Okay? And that was the article that I just read from. Now, here's a story. This might be a little... I'm perusing through a story. Yeah. I think it's actually a TV. This is actually a TV report on it, which is what I wanted to see. But I'm having to wade through the obligatory commercial. All right, here it is.
29 Palms Marine Base Commissary being shut down due to a rat infestation. It serves as a grocery store on base for military personnel and veterans. Right now, the military is taking steps to address the issue. News Channel 3's Jeremy Chen spoke with base and commissary officials and has more on what they're doing to try to reopen the facility.
This sign is what greets shoppers when they arrive at the 29 Palms Marine Base Commissary, closed due to a rat infestation. Shoppers like Bruce Jones, a retired Army soldier. The news is unexpected for him.
Their standards of cleanliness has been, they're so much higher than everywhere else, you know.
Obviously not.
It surprised us to hear that they were closed.
Jones is one of many retired veterans that frequently shop at the commissary, which serves about 1,200 people every day. Marine base officials are aware of its importance for that community.
They're on fixed income. Some people drive from hundreds of miles away to get to this commissary in order to utilize their retiree benefits.
This is Captain Karen Holliday, United States Marine Corps.
Fits. Officials with the Defense Commissary Agency say the infestation was discovered on October 11th in certain areas of the building. This is the first time the 29 Palms Commissary has been shut down, the first one in 17 years of all commissaries around the globe. Commissary officials say they are aggressively cleaning the building in order to reopen as soon as possible.
We're working diligently to make that happen. We have hopes that it will be soon, but we...
This is Lieutenant Colonel Elisa Wilma of the Defense Commissary Agency, otherwise known as DECA. She's an active duty Army Lieutenant Colonel, it looks like.
We will not rush a reopening at the risk of compromising the safety of our patrons.
Shoppers like Jones will now shop for a selection of items outside of the commissary at a sidewalk sale happening every day from 10 to 5.
Commissary officials say fresh items such as produce and meats won't immediately be available, while items such as bottles of water, paper plates, and other non-perishable items will be immediately available with a sidewalk sale.
Jones says he's glad something is being done.
The military, they jump on things fast, you know. They find a problem, they take care of it quickly, and that's a blessing.
A blessing Jones is hoping allows him to shop for fresh food at the commissary. Jeremy Chen, News Channel 3, 29 Palms.
The source of the rat infestation remains under investigation. Marine-based officials have contacted nearby grocery stores to stock up on fresh food for personnel on base. The commanding general of the 29 Palms Marine Base will make the final call on reopening the commissary with recommendations from health inspectors.
All right, there you have it. That is from News Channel 3, an ABC affiliate in the high desert in Palm Springs. So again, I just read the story and you look like, okay, well, who got fired because of that? So this is one of those things that it's like an after action report, except something really bad happened and somebody stands up and says, well, you know, if we all work together better and we all try harder, then next time it'll be okay. Wait a minute. Something really bad happened. Somebody got to get fired. That's how this works. You don't get to have rats rolling around the commissary eating food and not knowing about it, not taking corrective action, and keep your job. All right. Pretty cool picture in Marine Corps Times. Joe Dunford reviewing troops in China. Yeah. United States says China's practicing bombing runs against Guam. No new information, but the story about the NCIS investigation of two United States Navy SEALs linked to the strangulation of a U.S. Army Green Beret in Africa continues. I was kind of interesting about John McCain went to the United States Naval Academy to speak. So he's not a healthy guy. And so is in some way, shape or form a farewell. And he thanked them for doing their service and talked to them about doing the right thing. So, anyway, John McCain, interesting guy. I don't always understand his politics, but I was kind of curious if he would have any earth-shattering messages for the midshipmen at the United States Naval Academy. You're going to hear Secretary Mattis and Secretary Tillerson talk about another headline, which is the U.S. promises up to $60 million for anti-extremist force in Africa. But in terms of increasing troop numbers, not so much. The other story that Marine Corps Times covers is the court bars Trump on transgender troop policy. I've been out for 2 years, but I never heard of any transgender Marines. And come on, that's something that would go around an organization. Now, mind you, I wasn't around. Well, I don't know. Should I be so parochial and chauvinistic as to say we don't have them in the infantry where I spent most of my time? I didn't hear about it in MEF headquarters group. We had intel battalion, comm battalion, radio battalion, law enforcement battalion, Anglico. Yeah. Come on, and comm battalion, they got their hands in everything. Every bit of criminal activity going on in a division, the comm guys got to be part of it for some reason. I'm not exactly sure. But, Ninth Comm, affectionately known as Ninth Crime, they didn't get that nickname for not participating. They participate. So, Yeah, I never heard of such a thing. So, anyway. So, those are a few headlines. So, let me just, the basis of this ruling. Federal court on Monday ruled Donald Trump cannot act to force transgender service members out of the ranks, a move which critics have repeatedly assailed as unconstitutional. The decision from the U.S. District Court
for the District of Columbia may also open the door for those already serving transgender troops to resume medical services at the government's expense, a benefit administration officials were working to end in recent months. The move comes 2 months after Pentagon officials said that transgender individuals in the ranks could continue to serve pending the DOD review of the issue, which is expected to be completed in early 2018. The court ruling overtakes that, freezing in place the military's transgender policy as of late June. The ruling by U.S. District Judge Colleen Kohler-Cotelli wrote Monday that transgender members of the military who had sued over the changes were likely to win their broader legal battle on the issue, necessitating court action. Advocates hailed the news as a significant win in their efforts to battle what they see as Trump's discriminatory policies. "This preserves military readiness," said Aaron Belkin, executive director of the Palm Center. "We already have an inclusive policy that promotes readiness by allowing these individuals to serve. The courts are now recognizing that what the president was trying to do was unconstitutional." So anyway, we've talked about this a little bit, and so I'm not exactly sure how you going through transgender psychological treatment and then physical steps keeps you in the category of full-up brown deployable person in the United States military and, you know, ensures your ability to be a widget. And if your hormone therapy that you have to take on a continuing basis requires some sort of extraordinary measures, then is that compatible with military service? I would tell you the answer is no. Just like being a diabetic is. So again, and the steps to change your gender, I mean, that's years in the making. So again, I would be curious to see what the study finds. Okay. The issue is, again, there's no editorial. If you want to be a girl or if you want to be a guy, that's up to you. Congratulations. Get after it. But we can't use you. And we're not going to pay you to sit on the sidelines for 7 or 8 years while you undergo that treatment. It's just not what we do. Okay. So anyway. But it's their right. You can't force them out. I just think it's ridiculous. You know, if you look at the timeline and you're going to go down that road, you can't do that to us. And let me read you an email. Mac, there's so few of them. Is it even worth the time and effort to deal with this for the DOD? Well, that's a good question. It's a question of, is it suitable for military deployable life? And if the answer is no, then that's kind of sacrosanct. Yes? I think it is. So it's not an issue of the military hates transgenders. No, come on, man. We love transgenders. Sitting around, waiting for trucks, right? Cleaning weapons. What could be more entertaining than to have a transgender Marine in our midst to hear the crazy stories that person would recount for you? Right? Come on, it would be awesome. Marines would be laying there laughing their asses off. The problem is simply the flash to bang on that deal. That's years. And if it takes you out of a deploying status, then I'm sorry. No can do. No can do. Here's an email about General Kelly. Here's a couple of them. General Kelly, last night I knew as soon as General Kelly mentioned putting Robert E. Lee into the proper historical context
that the left would attack today, it's already started. Now, look, it's a broken country. I've officially declared it. And these are all just manifestations of it. All right? It's a broken country. Think about this. Think about what a joke it is. Watching all this hysteria around what's going on in Hollywood. All that stuff has been common knowledge in those places for years. Yeah. It's amazing. And you have, you know, you have Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton running out there, taking their money, blah, blah, blah. It's a broken country that's lost its way. And what you are doesn't matter anymore. The truth doesn't matter anymore. There's no greater testament to that than the fact that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were our nation's political candidates. How pathetic was that? And Trump, for whatever he may be, okay, when you drop a political candidate, he's not the guy you're looking for. He is an expression of American dissatisfaction. And I would, to be very blunt, he's a big fat fuck you to Washington, D.C. That's what Donald Trump is. So he's a necessary phenomenon in the country to go to a guy who just drive a wrecking ball through it and throw the bodies out in the middle of the room, and you know, and he won't be perfect at it either. And so maybe we go to a better place because of him. Burn it down. But it's a broke organization. Yeah, the whole concept General Kelly is talking about. And so I did this quiz, and forgive me if you've heard it before, okay? So it was about judging people by our current historical lens and not by the lens of their time, all right? The first nation that outlawed slavery was, okay, and I don't mean the transportation of slaves, okay? Because if you say the transportation of slaves, then, and you don't outlaw slavery within your nation, then that means everybody who has slaves here in merry old England, you can keep them. In France, you can keep them. Okay, so we're not talking about the importation of slaves. We're talking about saying that in our country, in our commonwealth, slavery is illegal. The first major nation that does that is England in 1833. So, George Washington's entire life he lives, and every major nation on the planet, slavery is legal. And you will read writings of the time that say it's benevolent. Because blacks weren't looked at as anything close to being equal to whites. And you were somehow making their lives better by giving them work, you know, introducing them to Christianity, providing for them. Okay, so in that world, Washington releases his slaves in his will in 1793 and then says, upon my wife's death, our slaves will be made free. Now, that's a pretty impressive thing, yes, in that world. But it's like we don't even have the appetite to examine it, to apply the footnotes, and learn from it. And it's just, I don't want to say it's distressing, but you look at it and you're like, this is like stupid people. This is like stupid people doing stupid things. Fueled by social media, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and let me, the Houston, Texas protest,
They're pissed at their owner, right, used a euphemism that they didn't like. And so what do? They're disrespectful to the flag. So if you're sitting in that meeting, it's like, yeah, guys, look, I'm pissed too. But why are we going to use this protest? Why are we going to use this vehicle to register that? The two, they don't have anything to do with each other. Okay. All right. Yeah. Just thought this side, throw that out there. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back. Hold on. Here's another one about General Kelly that I was going to read. Kelly. I don't know, honestly, how Kelly gets up and does that every day. The stupidity that he deals with. Think about his plight. He knows the truth on these issues. And then he picks up the newspaper and he reads what people write. The out-and-out fabrications that they produce. And he must sit there and go, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Mac, I once heard you talk about being in Iraq and looking at what the media wrote and thinking the American people don't have a chance of understanding this because nobody comes close to telling them the truth that actually is going on here. Kelly's having that same experience domestically. It would be very interesting to have a drink with him and listen to him talk. The times I've seen him speak to Marines, he's very candid, he's down to earth, and he's very funny. I would concur with your assessment. I do believe the nation's broke. Thank you for finally declaring that. You're welcome. Yeah, the United States is broke. It's a broke country. No, hold on. Let me rephrase that. The United States isn't broke. The elected officials of the United States are broke. They are a broke, dysfunctional organization and, by all appearances, incapable of reforming themselves so that they can do the work of the American people. Incapable of it. The American people, the people of this country, as we've seen in Houston, as we've seen in Florida, as we see in Puerto Rico, as we see whenever there's a challenge or a natural disaster, what do? They come together and they do things. And they help. And I just drove across the country, met a bunch of them. American people are good people. Waitress in Wyoming, I'm really sorry, I didn't put in your ticket right away. It was under a pile. I said, it's all right. I need to get out of that damn truck, okay? I'll sit here and play solitaire. I'm okay. By the way, your internet sucks. I know. I'm sorry about that, too. It's okay, though. Right? Nice people. Nice people. In the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. And that's America. And I don't think we should get confused. The people that don't fire anybody when a commissary is full of rats with the American people themselves. American people are good people. Straight up. And they deserve better, which is the whole pathetic part of this. Okay. All right. We'll take a break, and then we'll check the early bird. Coming up next. And then we're going to hear Rex Tillerson and Jim Mattis. They testified yesterday about the authorization and the pretense that we're in Africa is based on, what, the 2003 authorization to go into Iraq, I believe. So you'll hear them in their own words, which we all know is always better. So don't touch that dial. Don't go anywhere. More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday. World Series Game 6 tonight. That's right, Justin Verlander. Will the God who governs sports allow him to have
all of that, or will he intervene and say, I'm sorry, Justin, nobody gets it like that? Film 9/11.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? We can't go on together with suspicious eyes, and we can build our dream on suspicious minds. So with the hope that I know, I'll try to say hello.
Elvis. He's a soldier, man. That's right. Elvis. He deployed to Germany. That's where he met Priscilla Presley. And that's what the song is about. Trapped. Trapped with Priscilla Presley. Yikes. Poor guy. Elvis. All right, we'll check some news headlines here. Good morning to you, All Marine Radio, on a Tuesday. Halloween gets going. Email Mac, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I couldn't even tell you. I'm not one of those guys who dresses up for Halloween. I know some people who do. I'll be curious. I don't know that Mike does. I think Mike would, but I'm not exactly sure. Montana Man, I don't think he dresses up for Halloween. I don't. I couldn't even tell you. Because it's been like, Halloween's now like a throw a party, wear a costume, blah, 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 blah. Right?
But I'm not that guy. The last time I dressed up for Halloween, I think it was 14. Well, you know what? That's a lie. Probably 11 or 12. I was pretty conscious as a kid of being a dork. And there's a certain age you get to where if you're still going out in a Halloween costume, you're a dork. Yeah, I'm sorry. And I was always like, yeah, I'm not going to be a dork. So yeah, to answer the question, I'm not going out in a costume. Yeah, Rudy straight up, he's an aviator, right? They're all about it. They're just straight up all about it. But, all right, so let me read you a few early bird headlines. Here you go. Paul Manafort indicted yesterday. And here's the kicker. The kicker is he straight up pled not guilty. I was watching, as people analyzed this throughout the course of the day, I thought the most interesting analysis that I saw was by Alan Dershowitz, of all people. Yeah, he's a lefty. He said, look, here's the deal. What you do in these cases, whether it's RICO and racketeering, whether you're trying to shake down the mafia or get after a union, you find somebody, you know, medium high to rat out everybody else. And you charge them with whatever you can charge them with. And you threaten to send them away to prison for a long period of time. And what do you want? You want them to roll and rat other people out. He said, that's how you do this. That's what Mueller's doing. That's what Manafort is. They want him or one of these people to link them to somebody else. So, as I think he said, we're playing dominoes here. These are the first dominoes. And we'll see where it takes them. His personal opinion was, I don't think, if this is what they have, I don't think they have any, there's no conspiracy. There might be, you know, what did he use? Loosely affiliated individuals that are trying to improve their own standing by getting some kind of nugget and delivering it. But that's not a conspiracy. And then they have to violate a law. Right? And we talked with John Ubaldi yesterday about what breaks squelch, what doesn't break squelch. We may not get to that testimony today. So what would break squelch? They've got to violate a law. Doing political research, which has been done since the first election took place here on Earth. Hey, what do you know about that dude? That's been done forever. That's not illegal. So Dershowitz was kind of in my opinion, he had the most interesting things to say about how this is done and what Mueller's trying to do. Second story, George Papadopoulos, a former campaign advisor for President Trump, pleaded guilty earlier this month to lying to federal officials about contacts he had with people he believed had ties. So he's one of the dudes that was attempting to look for information. That's in the Post. Military Times reports, I already read the headline, but China's practiced bombing runs targeting Guam. Well, no kidding, man. What do you think we do? Don't practice stuff that's going to, you know, take us to North Korea. We have they're called exercises. We get the logistics out there, right? We begin to fly the attack profile, profile, you know, the sky is pied up and the dots go up in the sky, how we control aircraft, all of that. No kidding. One of the interesting things that it just kind of struck me from the Kelly interview was he said, I don't even consider China an adversary, really. You know, they're another nation. They're another major power. And we don't always see eye to eye with them, but I don't consider them an adversary. Kind of an interesting little remark. He said, look, you have to give them credit. They've handed us our ass. That's my term, not his. They've handed us our ass economically. He said, and the president intends to change that. Can you imagine if we could reverse some of that? That would get a little bit more level, what that would mean to the American economy? If instead of we were a consumer of things Chinese, that we were a trading partner and that there would be consumption of American goods by Chinese. And in case you don't know, there's a lot of them. Okay? That would be an interesting little thing, wouldn't it? I think so. This is what the video today, and this is the article that you wouldn't have to read if I play the video. Okay? After 16 years, congressional debate on military force authorization remains stalled. Nobody expected those last two words, remain stalled. And then there's a pretty moto picture of an artilleryman. Yeah, U.S. Marine fires an M777A2 howitzer in Syria. Yeah, smoke coming out of the muzzle brake. Got his plate carrier on, looking all motivated. Pretty clean, though. Pretty clean equipment, so not sure who that is. Might be just a moto photo. Anyway. Senate lawmakers said the deaths of four U.S. service members in unheralded anti-terrorism operations in Africa has brought a new focus on the need to update the military force authorizations governing those missions. But that hasn't changed the debate. So the testimony that you're going to hear a little bit of today, or you might, it's about 30-something minutes, Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing on Monday, Bob Corker, I believe, is the chair. Chamber leaders said that they still don't see a path forward for a new bipartisan compromise on the issue, which means nothing's going to happen. Okay? So there you have it. Are our Senate is a joke. It is a break on the progress of the nation, and it is bullshit. Okay? This policy ought to be updated, and the Congress of the United States ought to update it. And to the extent that they don't do it, shame on them. They are an embarrassment to the nation. Right? Senator now, in my opinion, equals clown. He's a clown. He's a Republican clown from the state of New Mexico. Joe Blow. Stupid. It's stupid. They can't do anything. So anyway, you'll probably hear that audio here in a few minutes. And then we already talked about the court and the transgender issues. Interestingly enough, the leader of Taiwan, President Tsai Ing-wen, said during a visit to Hawaii, where the United States expressed concern over possible military imbalance in the Taiwan Strait, that Taiwan will increase future defense spending. Yeah, we love that. It's awesome. And China, they said, yeah, it's not right that she's there. We're the only China. Yeah, well, what about all these millions of people on that island? What do you want us to do with that? Ignore it. Oh, the way you ignore stuff when we ask you? Oh, that's right, you don't do that. So stick it up your ass, China. Yeah. Clown show. Grant Newsham, we need to talk to Grant here. Taliban have warned the United States that United States airman who's held hostage by the Taliban is falling dangerously ill and is in urgent need of care, and the militant group has warned the U.S. to accept its demands. Okay, let me tell you what's bad about that for the Taliban. That guy's only looked at on as an asset. If he dies, we're not going to get any ransom from the United States. Yep. All right. And then in terms of no very prominent stories in the early bird about the Marine Corps. Yeah. Marine Corps on the down low here on Halloween. Congratulations there, boys and girls. Way to stay off the blotter. All right. That's a look at the news. That's a look at the news. Mac, did you see the article in Military Times about Rocky Blyer, who's a four-time Super Bowl champion, who lost part of his right foot in combat in Vietnam, chimed in on the predicament that the NFL is in? I did not. Let me click on the link. Although, who doesn't remember Rocky Blyer? He played, he's a running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's now 71. Blyer was awarded the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart for his actions in combat in Vietnam. He played 10 seasons in the NFL, even with chunk missing out of his foot. The American people, this is Rocky Blyer. Okay, so Army veteran, Vietnam, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, four-time Super Bowl champion, Rocky Blyer. Quote, the American people can't go to their workspace and start to protest about whatever may be happening in their life, Blyer said. That wouldn't be allowed, and it shouldn't be allowed in the NFL. It's not a violation of the First Amendment at all. You have days off. You can go do it outside the stadium or on other platforms, but not the game day platform. Blyer continued. It was a year ago that Kaepernick took a knee,
So if you're the commissioner or an owner, you have to be proactive. Somewhere along the line, I have not seen the leadership maybe I expected from the commissioner and the owners in this situation. You can't allow it to continue to drag on, Blyard continued. Otherwise, it will be like an open sore that heals, and if you peel off the scab again, it will continue to be there. Blyard joins the ongoing list of current and former athletes, including Pittsburgh Steeler and former U.S. Army Ranger Alejandro Villanueva, who have contributed to the ongoing dialogue. It's a no-brainer. But again, I find the interesting thing, the most interesting, and if you've heard the program, you know that, is the shit sandwich the NFL is in right now. They have a business problem. They are losing patrons. And they have allowed this thing to go on and allow, as Rocky Blyer said, athletes who work for them to position themselves as owners and hijack, right, the workplace. And whether you like the euphemism or not, the owner of the Houston Texans was articulating that problem. Now, whether he's talking about the players or the way the NFL administration has dealt with the players, it's the same issue. That can't be any, and again, and then again, the validation of the point, that can't go on like that, okay? This is the workplace. You can do anything you want outside the workplace. When you come to work, right, if you choose not to, if you do not want to honor the nation's flag, you can stay in the locker room. But you cannot hijack our shield, our product, and identify it with your cause. You don't have that right as an employee. Okay? So you got one of two choices. You can either stay in the locker room, or you can come out and you can be on the field and stand. Those are your choices. But the NFL. Another email. The United States is broke. It's been broke for a while, Mac. I think you're a little late to the party. Hey, I didn't say I was fast on the uptake, man. Off me. I'm just, look, I tend to, if you listen to the program, I'm a reader. I'll find it inquisitive. I'll get wire brushed by somebody, and I'll say, oh, I probably ought to look into that if I'm going to talk about it. And case in point was my little, going down the rabbit hole of sequestration, filibuster, blah, 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 reconciliation. What is all that stuff? What are the footnotes that go with it? And then Ohio man, he doesn't remember this, but he wire brushed me. Mac, the founding fathers made it hard to change our former government. So then I researched it. I find out that the Senate had the same rules as the House. It was only to be composed differently. The House representative of population, the Senate balancing that out by giving every state an equal voice. There was no filibuster, cloture in the design of our bicameral legislative branch. There was none of that. Those were self-invented by the Senate. And the nation held hostage to it now. It's stupid. Yeah. So I go down those holes, and I learn about it. But if I'm late to the party, so I'm late to the party. Who says you got to get to the party early? So, anyway. It's pretty broke, though. Pretty broke. I see two major breaks. One is that I see a complete disconnect on the part of Democrats and the concept of limited government that you can pay for, that keeps you on a path to be fiscally responsible with tax dollars and also allow Americans the freedom that they enjoy. That Big Brother isn't involved in everything you do. So it's a concept of limited government.
Okay. So I, what I see is Hartford, Connecticut going into bankruptcy, the state of Illinois going into bankruptcy. And how does that happen? How can you miss it by that much when you have the taxing power of a municipality, the taxing power of a state, that you can screw it up so bad, you can spend so much money and raise so little that you're insolvent, that there's nothing you can do to turn this around. So what we're going to have to do is go into the courts and restructure pension funds that don't exist, that were supposed to exist. And the pensioners get a very simple letter. You can either take this restructuring, or we will liquidate the fund and send you your share of it, which will probably be something on the tune of $30,000. What? Yeah, that was supposed to be your pension. That's what's in there for you. Yeah. So broke, and there's nothing wrong with being late to the party. Yeah, I could be late to the party if I want to. Okay, now, with all that said, I want to hear a few minutes of Rex Tillerson and Jim Mattis testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday. All right? So, here you go.
Ranking Member Cardin, distinguished member.
This is the Honorable Rex Tillerson.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. I know the Senate's desire to understand the United States' legal basis for military action is grounded in your constitutional role related to foreign policy and national security matters. I understand your sense of obligation to the American people well in this regard.
Okay, that wasn't intended to be comedy, okay? He's actually saying that seriously. Even though that they can't act and they don't act and they won't act, they take that responsibility to the American people really seriously, right? Wrong. The only thing missing is a rim shot right there.
In the 2001 Authorization for Use of Military Force, or AUMF,
2001, you heard that right.
Congress authorized the president to, quote, to use all necessary and appropriate force against those nations, organizations, or persons he determines planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001, or harbored such organizations or persons. Congress granted the president this statutory authority, quote, in order to prevent any future acts of international terrorism against the United States by such nations, organizations, or persons. The 2001 AUMF provides statutory authority for ongoing U.S. military operations against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and associated forces, including against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. The administration relies on the 2001 AUMF as a domestic legal authority for our own military actions against these entities, as well as the military actions we take in conjunction with our partners in the coalition to defeat ISIS. The 2001 AUMF provides a domestic legal basis for our detention operations at Guantanamo Bay, where the United States currently detains members of Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and associated forces. The 2001 AUMF also authorizes the use of necessary and appropriate force to defend U.S., coalition, and partner forces engaged in the campaign to defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria. In Syria, the efforts of the U.S.-led coalition are aimed at the defeat of ISIS. The United States does not seek to fight the Syrian government or pro-Syrian government forces. However, the United States will not hesitate to use necessary and proportionate force to defend U.S., coalition, or partner forces engaged in the campaign against ISIS. The President's authority to use force against ISIS is further reinforced by the authorization for use of military force against Iraq, or in more plain terms, the 2002 AUMF. In addition to authorities granted to the President by statute, the President has the power under Article 2 of the Constitution to use military force in certain circumstances to advance important U.S. national interest, including to defend the United States against terrorist attacks. As an example, President Reagan relied on his authority as commander-in-chief in 1986 when he ordered airstrikes against terrorist facilities and military installations in Libya following a terrorist attack by Libya in West Berlin, which killed and wounded both civilians and U.S. military personnel. The United States has the legal authority to prosecute campaigns against the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and associated forces, including ISIS, and is not currently seeking any new or additional congressional authorization for the use of force. The 2001 AUMF remains a cornerstone for ongoing U.S. military operations and continues to provide legal authority relied upon to defeat this threat. However, should Congress decide to write new AUMF legislation, I submit to you several recommendations that the administration would consider necessary to a new AUMF. First, a new AUMF authorities must be in place prior to or simultaneous with the repeal of old ones. Failure to do so could cause operational paralysis and confusion in our military operations. Diplomatically speaking, it could cause our allies in the global coalition to question our commitment to defeating ISIS. And potential repeal of the 2001 AUMF without an immediate and appropriate replacement could raise questions about the domestic legal basis for the United States' full range of military activities against the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and associated forces, including against ISIS, as well as our detention operations at Guantanamo Bay. Second, any new authorization should not be time constrained. Legislation which would arbitrarily terminate the authorization to use force would be inconsistent with a conditions-based approach and could unintentionally embolden our enemies with the goal of outlasting us. Any oversight mechanism in a new AUMF also would have to allow the United States the freedom to quickly move against our enemies without being constrained by a feedback loop. Third, a new AUMF must not be geographically restricted, as is the case under the current AUMF.
You want to create a stunning website? I've already done it. With Wix.
Yeah, YouTube. How does YouTube make money again? Oh, that's right. They bomb them in the middle of their content.
Restricted. As is the case under the current AUMF, the administration would need to retain the statutory authority to use military force against an enemy that does not respect or limit itself based on geographic boundaries. As ISIS's fraudulent caliphate in Iraq and Syria has crumbled, it has tried to gain footholds in new locations. As was discussed with the Senate during a closed Defeat ISIS briefing in July, the United States has a limited military presence in the Lake Chad Basin to support partners, including France, in their counterterrorism operations in the region. This information has also been conveyed to you in multiple periodic reports submitted to Congress consistent with the War Power Resolution. The collapse of ISIS's so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria means it will attempt to burrow into new countries and find new safe havens. Our legal authorities for heading off a transnational threat like ISIS cannot be constrained by geographic boundaries. Otherwise, ISIS may reestablish itself and gain strength in vulnerable spaces. The United States must retain the proper legal authorities to ensure that nothing restricts or delays our ability to respond effectively and rapidly to terrorist threats to the United States. Secretary Mattis and I, along with the rest of the administration, are completely aligned on this issue. We fully recognize the need for transparency with you as we respond to what will be a dynamic regional and global issue. We will continue to regularly update Congress and to make sure you and the American people understand our foreign policy goals, military operations, and that committee for supporting our efforts, and look forward to your questions.
Thank you. Secretary Mattis, we thank you also for being here and your extraordinary service, not only as Secretary, but through many, many years in our military. We especially appreciate the fact that the two of you work together constantly to deal with issues in a unified voice, and we very much appreciate that. With that, if you'd begin.
That is Senator Bob Corker, the object of the President's ire here most recently.
Thank you, Chairman Corker, Ranking Member Cardin, members of the committee. It is appropriate we appear before you today to explain what we're doing from DOD's perspective in our counterterrorism campaign and why. This has been a long 16-year global conflict characterized by a very different form of warfare, specifically terrorism, fueled by extremism aimed at innocents around the globe. Traditional campaigns to protect our people must adapt to the reality of today's non-traditional transnational character of this fight. The 2001 and 2002 authorizations to use military force, or AUMF, remain a sound basis for ongoing U.S. military operations against a mutating threat. In the aftermath of the deadly 9/11 attack and to prevent future acts of international terrorism against the United States, Congress passed the 2001 AUMF, finding the President has, and I quote, authority under the Constitution to take action to deter and prevent acts of international terrorism against the United States. The 2002 AUMF provided the President with authority to, and I quote again, defend the national security of the United States against the continuing threat posed by Iraq, unquote. Previous administrations have cited these statutory authorities to address the threat posed by terrorist groups in Iraq and Syria. As demonstrated by presidents from Washington to Lincoln, Wilson, FDR, and their successors, it lies firmly within any president's constitutional authority and responsibility as the elected commander-in-chief to designate who presents a threat to our country. To date, this Article II authority, reinforced by the 2001 and 2002 AUMFs, has been used to take action against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, and associated forces. Following the December 2011 pullout of our forces and from Iraq and the outbreak of civil war in Syria, Al-Qaeda in Iraq regained strength and rebranded itself as ISIS. In 2014, under its new name, ISIS unleashed mayhem in the heart of the Middle East, building its self-described caliphate and attracting the allegiance of terror groups from the Sahel to Southeast Asia, groups which plan, inspire, and conduct external attacks around the globe, attacks that include San Bernardino, Paris, Orlando, London, and the Philippines, to name only a few. Though a statement of continued congressional support would be welcome, a new AUMF is not legally required to address the continuing threat posed by Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and ISIS. Article 2 of our Constitution, the 2001 and 2002 AUMFs, provide sufficient legal authority for us to engage and defeat the current threat, which we are doing by working by, with, and through our allies and partners. That said, any new congressional expression of unity, whether or not an AUMF, would present a strong statement to the world of America's determination, demonstrating, as Senator Kaine has stated, quote, an important message of resolve to the American public and our troops that we stand behind them in their mission, unquote. With that for background, I would like to note that to successfully prosecute the counterterrorism campaign, any debate on a new or revised AUMF needs to incorporate the following factors. First, the 2001 and 2002 AUMF should not be repealed. After numerous court cases and debates, there appears to now be a general consensus by all three branches of government that these two AUMFs provide sufficient authority to prosecute operations against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and we believe ISIS. Repealing the 2001 and 2002 AUMFs would only cause unnecessary policy and legal uncertainty, which could lead to additional litigation and public doubt. The uncertainty accompanying that situation could only signal to our enemies and our friends that we are backing away from this fight. It would stall our operations, immediately reduce Allied commitments and support, and create significant opportunities for our enemies to seize the initiative. Additionally, repealing the AUMFs without new authority would deprive us of the ability to detain dangerous enemy combatants who could then be released to fight again. Second, any new AUMF must not be time-restricted. For example, President Trump's South Asia strategy is conditions-based, not time-based, because war is fundamentally unpredictable. We cannot put a firm timeline on conflict against an adaptive enemy who would hope that we haven't the will to fight as long as necessary. Instead, we must recognize that we are in an era of frequent skirmishing, and we are more likely to end this fight sooner if we don't tell our adversary the day we intend to stop fighting. A conditions-based AUMF would not lessen Congress' authority. The power of the purse remains firmly vested in your hand should the executive branch not present a persuasive case for continuing the campaign. Lastly, any new AUMF must not be geographically constrained. As has been stated, these are not traditional threats. This is a fight against a transnational enemy, one that does not respect international borders and does not place geographic limits on their areas of operations. So necessarily, to defend our country, we must be prepared to swiftly engage this global enemy in conjunction with our allies and partners. Regardless of the adaptations we must make for the common defense, I recognize that it is incumbent on the Department of Defense to keep Congress fully informed to fulfill its constitutional role, and I will continue to do so. Accordingly, as our troops on the battlefield carry out the last 300 meters of American foreign policy to protect our way of life, I ask Congress for your continued support and commitment to ensure we retain the necessary authorities to take our own side in this fight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to reserve my time for interjections and defer to our ranking member and then move down the line. For those of you who may have stepped in late, I know giving guidance to senators is a useless effort. But we're going to have a whole series of hearings. This one hopefully is mostly focused on the 0102 AUMFs, but we'll have a series of hearings looking at other war-making powers, whether it's North Korea, nuclear issues. We've had members on the committee and off ask about these issues. So just know that. But I know you're going to ask whatever you wish. With that, Senator Cardin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to welcome Senator King to our committee. It's not the first time he's attended our hearings, and it's nice to have you here. I would ask consent that the statement from Human Rights First, Rights First, be made part of our record. Put a statement on record.
Without objection.
Thank you. Secretary Mattis and Secretary Thorson, I think we all agree that we're not anxious to repeal the 2001 authorization without a new...
Okay, just so everybody knows, this is the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and Secretary Mattis, Secretary Tillerson testifying yesterday, the oversight function of the Senate being much in discussion after the death of four United States Army Special Forces soldiers in Africa, approximately a month ago. And so the legal basis for our operations in Iraq, as well as other things, the subject of discussion. And the AUMF is not adios, you MF-er, okay? So just to put that to bed.
Authorization being enforced. That's certainly been the game plan. But I would point out that there are significant differences here about whether the 2001 authorization covers the military operation, counterterrorism operations against ISIS. Many of us believe that is not included in the 2001, but we do agree that Congress needs to make sure that there is authorization to pursue our counterterrorism efforts. As I indicated in my opening statement, operational decisions on the use of the AUMF for counterterrorism, I understand, would not be appropriate in an open setting. So my request, and I would ask that you respond to it, that you would be willing to return in a closed session in order that the Committee of Jurisdiction on the AUMF has a better understanding of how the operational decisions are being made.
Certainly, Senator.
Thank you.
Absolutely, sir.
I appreciate that. I understand the chairman's admonition about North Korea, but I just really want to put on the record Would you agree that there is no congressional authorization for the use of military force against North Korea? I understand the president's authorities under Article 2. There's an imminent threat against the United States. He has certain powers. But as far as congressional authorization, there is no authorization. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
I believe the president has Article 2 authority only.
Thank you. I want to get to what happened in Niger and sort of understand where we are, because there is also limitations on the introduction of troops under the War Powers Act, limiting to 60 days. And as I understand it, our troops in Northern Africa have been there much longer than 60 days. Can you just explain very briefly what our mission was in Nigeria when the tragedy occurred and under what legal authority those troops were there?
I can, Senator. The troops are there under Title 10 in a train and advise role. The letter from the president, from President Obama in 2013 to the President Pro Tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House talks to the total number of U.S. military deployed there in 2013 was 100 in furtherance of U.S. national security interests, as President Obama's report to you. That continues to be the case at this time.
But the specific mission that they were participating in, as I understand it, went beyond that. Am I wrong on that?
The mission of those troops on that patrol was a combined patrol, which means they were with Niger troops, and they were on a patrol where they're teaching them how you do what's called key leader engagement. I'd have to wait until I get the full investigation in to give you a more complete answer, but they are there with the Niger troops to train and advise them consistent with the original intent. They were sent there under the previous administration, continues to be the intent today.
So this is not 2001 authorization?
No, sir. This is under the Title 10 and requires us to report to you under that that authority.
I understand. Thank you for that answer. I want to know how far we would go in pursuing military options in that region of the world. Boko Haram's a horrible group doing terrible things. Do you have the authority under the 2001 to pursue Boko Haram's atrocities?
These troops were there under Title 10, as far as Boko Haram goes, they have pledged allegiance to ISIS or Al-Qaeda, and so either way, they have associated themselves with the very group that authorization is targeted on.
So without any further authorization from Congress, you believe you have authorization if determination is made to deploy whatever force is necessary to go after Boko Haram, including ground troops?
If the president detects that there is a threat from them against us, our interests, I believe he would have the authority to designate that group. Yes, sir.
Well, yes, I understand the threat, but the threat is related to the 2001 threat, is what you're saying, that this is a group that is terrorist activities are endangering.
If it's an associated group, he would under
so
that.
So he could declare that to be associated group?
No, he didn't. Boko Haram declared that they were an associated group.
They did, but the president could authorize them as an affiliate group and then use the full force of our military, including ground troops, without further restrictions?
Right now, Senator, our troops are there under Title 10. I don't want to speculate about that because that's not what they're doing right now. I'd have to go back and study it, but I believe a group that declares its allegiance to either Al-Qaeda or ISIS would then be part of Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Yes.
Yeah, but my question really is related to how far he could commit our military to these types of campaigns. When we were attacked on September the 11th, we recognize the need for a military response, and we certainly understood that American troops are going to be called upon to protect our country. I'm not sure that Congress envisioned that we would have the potential of ground troops in Northern Africa in combat missions. And if I understand you're saying, unless we modified this AUMF, you would feel that you have adequate authorization to commit American ground troops in northern Africa.
Senator, if the president determined they're a threat to the United States and under the AUMF, if they say they are allied with Al-Qaeda or ISIS, yes, sir, I believe so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Pretty interesting stuff right there. I know that you may, you know, those of you listening may think this is, you know, drivel. This is the drivel of our foreign policy. Title 10 of the United States Code outlines the role of the armed forces in the United States Code. It provides the legal basis for the roles, missions, and organizations of each service as well as the Department of Defense. Each of the five subtitles deals with a separate aspect or component of armed service. Subtitle A, military law, including the UCMJ. Subtitle B is the Army. Subtitle C, Navy and the Air Force. Navy and the Marine Corps. Subtitle D, Air Force. Subtitle E, Reserve Component. So when you hear those, you know, Title 10, that Title 10 is not linked yet. It is simply the mission of the Army, specifically the mission of the Green Berets, to go and help train other militaries when asked. And that's what they're doing in Niger. It hasn't been leaked to the AUMF of 2001 yet. Okay, and so that's what pretty interesting discussion about that. So this continues.
And Mr. Chairman, let me first start out by thanking both the secretaries for their service to the country. Let me pick up on the point of ground troops. Secretary Mattis, in your testimony, you talked about a 16-year global conflict, totally different than anything we've really witnessed in the past. I remember when we had this discussion a couple of years ago with the advent of ISIS, trying to rewrite a new authorization for use of military force, there was an awful lot of discussion about limiting ground troops, no ground troops. Secretary Tillerson, I think you said in your testimony, you talked about the caliphate is basically ended, is it not? Or really darn close?
Well, we have liberated a large amount of area in Iraq and Syria, but that fight is not over yet.
Secretary Mattis, is there any way we could have done what we've done so far at the caliphate without ground troops?
I don't believe so, Senator.
And yet, 2 years ago, we were debating in this committee replacing the authorization for use of military force with one that would have restricted President Obama's and his replacement, his successor, his or her ability to use ground troops. That would have been a big mistake, wouldn't it?
Senator, generally speaking, when you don't tell the enemy in advance what you're not going to do, that's not a wise, even if you don't choose to do it, there's no need to announce that to the enemy and relieve them of that concern.
You know, in the 2001 authorization, I personally don't think the 2001 applies to this situation. I really don't when you read it. But by precedent, it does. But it doesn't restrict the president's use of force. It says to use all necessary and appropriate force. And it goes on to describe what those nations, what those organizations really are. In a real declaration of war against Japan and Germany, Congress declared that the president is authorized and directed to employ the entire naval military force of the United States and the resource of the government to carry on the war against, in this case, government of Germany, and to bring the conflict to successful termination, all the resources of the country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States. So both in 2001 authorization and the declarations of war against both Germany and Japan, there were no restrictions. We pledged all necessary resources of this country to the defeat of our enemy. In both of your testimony, you laid out three conditions. One thing I want to clear up, Secretary Mattis, you said we should not repeal the 2001-2002. Later on, you talked about without a new authorization. There's no difference in your testimony, correct?
No, sir.
You can repeal it as long as you have something else in its place.
There are some lawyers who will say it's good to hold on to what you have, even if you pass a new one that perhaps changes it in some way.
So is there a slight difference between your two testimonies then? You would prefer keeping the 2001-2002 AUMF in place?
I'd have to see what came out next, Senator, but right now I'd say yes. We've been through a lot of difficulty trying to get the three branches of government aligned on this.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you in any way, shape, or form. You both said that if there's a new AUMF, it should not be time-restricted. You both said it should not be geographically restricted. I was waiting for the fourth, but neither one of you said this. There should be no operational restrictions. Do you believe there should be operational restrictions as we contemplated a couple of years ago, no ground troops or something of that type of restriction? Secretary Tillerson?
No, I do not think we can restrict operations given the way this particular enemy morphs, changes its tactics. As we saw with the emergence of ISIS, we start with what might be a fairly limited group of terrorists who then are able to overrun large territories and amass armies, essentially their own armies of tens of thousands. That requires a very different use of force than trying to chase and defeat terrorists that are making their way through the jungles in smaller numbers. Now, this is an enemy that changes its name, it moves across borders, it is a non-state actor, and it has morphed and changed over this 16 years, which I know is part of why this is such a vexing issue, because it does not fit a declaration of war. Certainly it doesn't fit the criteria that Congress has used in the past for declarations of war.
It's a totally different enemy than we faced in the past. But this has been a 16-year struggle. I don't think it's going to be over anytime soon. Secretary Mattis, can you describe what has changed in the change of the administration that has allowed us to defeat the caliphate in relatively short order compared to what had been happening the previous 2 years?
Senator, what we did was we changed the tactics. We accelerated the number of partnered units that had American forces with them, not to do the fighting, but to call in air support. The change in tactics was one that where we would surround the enemy first so they could not fall back and reinforce the next site, thus making it harder. And you saw the surround tactics used in Mosul, in Tal Afar, in Tabqa, in Raqqa. And those are the big changes, sir, as we accelerated the campaign, but also lessened the chance that foreign fighters could escape to return home or to reinforce the next position.
Would you say it's true that we've allowed the commanders on the ground to make the decisions to defeat the enemy rather than direct them here from Washington, D.C.?
I have delegated authority to the appropriate levels, yes, sir.
Both of you seem to indicate that continued congressional support would be welcome if it was a statement of unity. But it has to be an authorization that does not restrict the military's ability to defeat our enemy. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I agree, Senator. Assuming strong and very robust feedback loops to the Congress to keep you fully informed.
I have no further questions. Again, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Senator Udo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you both for your service, and thank you for being here today. Secretary Mattis, the existence of multiple local militia forces in Iraq remains a major problem as ISIL is driven out. Kurdish aspirations of nationhood may be just the tip of the iceberg, and I'm concerned we're ending up on multiple sides of a complicated conflict in a post-ISIL Iraq and Syria. How many different groups are the Department of Defense advising and assisting in Iraq?
Sir, we advise and assist the Iraqi security forces only in Iraq. And I would just mention that Secretary Tillerson just returned from there, and this issue was brought up with the Prime Minister. If you would say anything, Mr. Secretary.
Yes, the Prime Minister is asserting authority himself over other various militias, including popular mobilization forces, the PMF, which are by and large Iraqi forces. They are Iraqi citizens who are fighting under militia arrangements, including the Peshmerga forces of Kurdistan during the war to defeat ISIS, to liberate Mosul, to liberate large parts of Nineveh and other provinces. These forces put themselves under the command of Prime Minister Abadi. So there are multiple forces, but I think, as the Secretary indicated, our support is through the Iraqi forces working with Prime Minister Abadi and under his authorities.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because, Secretary Tillerson, it was reported that the Iraqi Prime Minister was pretty blunt in his response about Shia Iranian-backed militias in Iraq, stating that they are already home and they're not going anywhere, and that maybe U.S. forces should leave. If U.S. forces are told to leave, will we depart Iraq, or will we stay uninvited, as our forces are doing in Syria, and under what legal authority will they remain?
Senator, the Prime Minister, I never heard the Prime Minister say U.S. forces should leave. What he did clarify is that, as I said, many of the PMF forces are Iraqi Shia forces, so they are Iraqi citizens. My comment was regarding foreign fighters. Foreign fighters that may have come to Iraq, we know there are foreign fighters in Syria, and my comments were that any foreign fighters, particularly those from Iran, needed to leave Iraq and go home. Certainly, PMF Iraqi citizens, this is their home. They will remain. But I think the Prime Minister has also made it clear as to his expectations of how these forces will organize themselves or put their arms down and just rejoin their villages as citizens.
No, but we've reached this new phase, and I think this is a real possibility that I'm asking you about. If U.S. forces are told to leave, will we depart Iraq, or will we stay uninvited, as our forces are doing in Syria, and under what legal authority?
This is actually, one of the questions that we've talked about, this triangle of the Kurds and their desire to be independent, and maybe that's the card that gets played to negotiate some type of autonomy within the Iraqi government. What happens to the United States? We've essentially supported the ejection. Let me just tell you, without American arms, our firepower, our artillery, our ISR, the fight for Mosul would still be going on. And so this is a very interesting question. And then Gunnar's going to join us here in a second.
We will remain in Iraq until ISIS is defeated, and we are confident that ISIS has been defeated.
Under what legal authority?
Under the 2001 and 2002 AUMFs. Now, having said that, we are there also at the invitation of the Iraqi government. And Prime Minister Abadi has given me no indication that he is in any particular hurry to have us depart.
Secretary Mattis and Secretary Tillerson, do you agree with the assertion that this fragmentation of security forces will pose difficulties to the Iraqi government maintaining order in areas that the U.S. government recently regained control of? What is your advice to ensure that these areas do not see resumed sectarian violence now that the fight with ISIL is nearly over, and does this necessitate U.S. troops on the ground?
Senators, areas have been liberated. We are working with the coalition partners and with the United Nations and other non-governmental organizations to create stability around liberated cities in particular, as well as villages. And that means having the military forces, the armies, pull back out of the villages, allow our coalition to enter those villages, undertake demining of the villages so that it's safe for people to return, and then begin the process of training local, basically, police forces. And we have a number of coalition partners that have undertaken that activity. So as we are liberating areas, we are preparing security forces, local security forces, to transplant the military forces. Prime Minister Abadi made this direct observation to me. He said, I have to get my armies out of the cities. They're not policemen. They're not trained to be policemen. And they're not equipped to be policemen. And I have to replace them with trained security forces to carry out police activities and provide security for the civilians as they return. There's a lot of work to do to stabilize these areas, but that is how we will lock in the military gains that have been achieved with the liberation.
Secretary Mattis, do you have a comment on that issue?
It's the Iraqi forces and, operating under Prime Minister Abadi that have liberated these areas. It's not any other armed groups. Now, there are PMF forces that are engaged with them, but he has insisted that they fall under the authority of his field commanders. That is being imperfectly done. I wouldn't say it's happening in all cases, but you have seen the successes enjoyed so far, and we are moving now against Al-Qaim with Iraqi forces to restore the border against Syria. So you see it unfolding in that direction. The next step is exactly what the Secretary of State has laid out.
Thank you both. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think, Senator Flake, you're next. If it's okay, maybe we'll go with about 3 minutes of your questions and then come back and you can resume if that's okay.
Right. That's fine. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here. I think that here, in the Senate, we aspire to be more than just one cog on a feedback loop. This is the body with Article I authority to declare war and to authorize the use of military force. I understand the importance in looking at your three items that shouldn't put a new AUM in place or shouldn't repeal the old one until a new is in place. No time constraints. We'll get to that in a second. Not geographically limited. And the AUMF that Senator Kaine and I have introduced, the bipartisan AUMF, I think meets the conditions of the one and three. But number two, with regard to time constraints, anybody want to hazard a guess of how many in this body right here in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee were in the Senate when the 2001 AUMF was passed? Not one. Not one member of this panel was in the Senate when the 2001 AOMF was passed, or the 2002 for that matter. Seven of us were in the House during that time and voted on it, but not one has had the opportunity to weigh in on it 16 years later. I would argue that the concern about giving our adversaries notice that we have to vote on something may be an issue, but it's overwhelmed in a big way by not having Congress buy in and not having us have skin in the game. It simply allows us to criticize the administration, Republican or Democrat, if we don't like what they're doing.
All right, we're going to get out of that. That is Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona. He very much in the news recently. And it's interesting, you hear this, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee here wringing their hands over wanting a say. Yet the Senate cannot craft an additional AUMF, right? And it's the authorization of military force that the military operates under in Iraq, in Africa, in Somalia. It's all the same one from 2001 and 2002. And look, if they had a proposal that they had that they could put together and push forward, the Congress would entertain it. But they can't even do that. So, anyway, I told you, the United States is broken, officially, I've declared it. And I got a text message, and Mike Musselman standing by. You there, Gunner? Oh. Hold on. I heard him yell, yeah. Oops, sorry about that.
Yeah, you gotta click the button.
I know.
I know, that's hard to do.
it happens most days. We all make mistakes. Just a text message. They're not used to such a straight shooter as Jim Mattis. He's giving them straight answers, and I think they're a bit shocked. You know what? I don't disagree with that. I think though that, especially his opening statement where he said, we don't need an additional AUMF to do what we're doing. Okay. All the authorization that we need, to conduct a global war on terrorism,
we were given in 2001 and 2002, and that's the administration's position. If you want to say, then, you know, okay, I got it, but we don't need it. So anyway, just kind of interesting. So what are you doing today, Mike?
I'm heading out to the range today.
Okay, so where is which range? Where is it, and what kind of weapons do you shoot at this range?
Okay, which range? It's called the Black Diamond Range.
I like that. Black Diamond.
It's a private range, very low membership, and it's just on the outside of town, and you shoot everything. I mean, shit. Anything that goes boom.
You shoot everything. Is it private or public?
It's private.
Got it. And
the membership is real low.
Okay. And then what are you, is this your, the firearm safety thing that you teach with women through the church or what?
No. This is just, the range is on, Ron's ranch, Ron and Brenda's ranch. So the Black Diamond Ranch. So he's got a really nice, actually he's got three ranges out there. So he's got a pistol and a short range, goes out to about 250 yards. Then on the other side of the hills is, the rifle range. It goes out to about 700 yards. And then we got what we call the big boy range. That's the one up by the house that goes out to 1100 yards.
Nice. So you're taking ammo out there? What kind of ammo are you taking out there? What are you going to shoot?
So, no, I'm not shooting today. Today is kind of straightening up because we got there's a range house, an air-conditioned range house. It's got the big leather sofa recliners in it.
Oh.
You know, it's got the sliding windows that you can slide out, and then the gun, the benches there at each window. So if it's a bad day, you just slide the window open. Put your gun out there on that bench and then shoot out from the range house.
Get out of town. What kind of bullshit is that?
It's just relaxing.
So you're
it's
in
got
a...
air conditioning, heating. It's got everything, man. It's just it's a rather large house. It's got a wood burning stove in it.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. You could move out there, man. That'd be like your dream home.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Roll the window, slide the window open, start blasting a little bit, make a little lunch, take a nap, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So Big Ron, man, he's the man.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything small or half-assed.
That is awesome.
Go big or go home, man.
So the first time you saw this setup, what'd you think? Had you ever seen one like this before?
Oh, yeah. Dude, some of my friends, I mean, I got a buddy that lives in actually Northern California who in his basement of his house, he's got an indoor range underground. So you know how some rich people put bowling alleys in their house.
Yeah.
This dude's got a four-lane shooting range that goes out to, I think, 100 meters. Underground in his house.
Does he? Obviously, he lives out in the country. He lives out in the county. He can't do that in the city.
Yeah, he lives out in the... Well, you can do that in the city. Who's going to fucking know? But, yeah, he lives out in the country.
Well, don't you need a permit?
Who's going to fucking know?
Well,
it's underground. It's not like it's loud. There's no noise.
There's no noise at all?
Well, if you're in the range shooting it, yeah. But if you're standing, I mean, it goes out through his backyard. And I've been in his backyard when he's shooting. And you can't hear anything. I mean, it's muffled by, like, what, 12 feet of earth.
Yeah, you don't... if you live in a residential area, come on, you know your nosy neighbors are going to get all up in your shit about that.
I would never tell them. If I had something like that in a city, I would never, ever mention it.
Okay.
It would be a very close circle of friends.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, this is a no-shitter. First Lieutenant McNamara buys a home in 1985, buys it in 85, and then deploys to the Western Pacific. While I'm deployed, my wife and we had our oldest, they move into the house. I come home and, you know, start doing the landscaping, but I wanted a satellite dish so I could watch the Red Sox games because my dad was managing the Red Sox. And at that time, you needed the big 10-foot dish, right?
Yeah.
So I get one. I get one. And I put it up in my backyard. And while I'm putting up, just as I'm finished the insulation and everything, the my neighbor sticks his head over the sticks his head over the fence. And he goes, "Hey, man, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm all right. How are you?" He goes, "I'm good." He goes, "You got a second?" And I said, "Sure." So I walk out in the driveway, and I said, "What's up?" And he said, "Can I talk to you about that satellite dish?" And I said, "Yeah." I thought he wanted to know about it, right? He says, "It's obstructing my view." I said, "Of what? My backyard?" And he said, "It's just obstructing my view." I said, "Then don't look into my backyard." He said, "I don't think you understand." I said, "Well, your view of my backyard, it's my backyard. So do you want, is there anything else in my backyard you don't like?" I said, "Are you serious? Or are you joking?" He said, "Well, I don't really care that much, but my wife is not real happy about it." And I said,
"Oh God."
Exactly. But I would, Mike, I was dumbstruck. My first thought was that I had done something wrong. And so then as we were standing and talking, I said, "Hey, look, man, I'm sorry if she doesn't like it, you know, and, but you could put a tree up, you know, you could block it. And that way, you know, it won't offend her." But it was amazing to me that somebody would have the balls to come to me and talk to me about something about that I put in up in my backyard that stood higher than the fence. And he brought that up. He said, "Well,
you know,
it stands higher than the fence." I said, "Is there a..."
Here's two things.
I said, Mike, "Is there a law that says I can't put up... What happens if I put up a jungle gym? Would that be okay with her? If it stands higher than, what, the six-foot-high fence?" He said, "Well, I guess..." What a joke.
Here's the two things that I would have said to him. Number one, "Don't worry about it. I'll paint it see-through. You won't even notice it." And then walked away. Number two thing I would have said was, "How tall are you?" And if he, "Well, why?" "Well, because I'm figuring out how much plastic I'm going to need."
"For what?"
"Fucking bury him in the woods."
I knew that was coming. And wait, here's
how tall are you? How much do you weigh?
Now that I'm thinking...
I'm just thinking about how much plastic it's going to take.
Here's the other thing. I said, "Well, I mean, it doesn't stick up that high. I mean, she can't even see it, you know, from the backyard." He said, "No, she can see it from the second floor of our house." I was like, "All right.
Tell her not to go upstairs.
This conversation's over, man. I'm sorry. I can't help you." And he was mad. He was pissed that he was going to have to go tell her. And, you know, she'd see me and she wouldn't even look at me because there was something. Yeah, it was stupid. And then she said something to me once and I just looked at her. I said, "Do you want to talk about it? Do I get a vote on things that you do to your second floor of your home? Because it clearly obstructs my view." And she said, "Well..."
And Mac, that's how you end those conversations. Then the neighbor thinks that you're fucking crazy.
Oh, well, she's... Yeah.
And then they don't talk to you.
I honestly was...
"How much..."
I was dumbstruck.
"How tall are you? Remember that. How tall are you? Why? Because I want to make sure that I have enough plastic in the garage." They just walk away from that.
Threatening. Here's an email. "Why is Mike wrapping a body in plastic? Why wouldn't you just throw it in the dirt so it can decompose and go away?
Heat. So you want to generate heat. So lime, so wrapping plastic, it'll insulate it. It causes it, you know, to decompose faster.
Got it.
I mean, I don't know this. I'm just guessing this.
You've read it. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I read it in a book.
Here's an earlier email. Mac, do you dress up for Halloween? Does the gunner? I said that I don't, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if you did or not. I 50-50 chance you do.
Who, me?
Yes.
Halloween is a celebration of a pagan ritual.
Yes, All Hallows Eve.
I do not celebrate pagan rituals.
Why?
Because I'm not a pagan.
All right, well, Halloween's, I mean, yes or no, does Rudy, our F-18 consultant, does he loves Halloween,
oh, fuck,
yeah? Oh, my God.
That kid.
He's been planning
he's
his cost.
He's an Oscar Mayer wiener one year. He's a mustard bottle. You name it. He's a milking cow.
All that. He plans his costume, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I've got a great costume this year. What are you going to be?
I'm going to be a naval aviator.
Exactly.
I'm going to be Tom Cruise, Maverick.
I'm going to be Maverick. Yeah, so, okay. All right, so for the record, Mike does not dress up. But I would imagine, does your wife dress up for Halloween?
No.
She doesn't? Because that's what gets a lot of guys. Their wives want to dress up, and so they say, you have to go with me, you have to dress up.
And yeah, I tried to get her into a skimpy pirate outfit, but that didn't work.
All right. So Halloween, you're not a big Halloween guy. I will tell you this: Halloween is
you know
pretty,
when I was a kid, yeah, but not so much now. And I just hate the fact that kids come to your door and beg for food.
It's Halloween. They're not begging for food. It's an American tradition.
Okay, so don't give them candy. When they say trick-or-treat, you tell them this.
No,
give them advice.
Oh, shut up with that
shit. Open the door and say, trick-or-treat. I say, okay, here it is. Here's a treat. Here. When you go out into the world, have a zero expectation of everybody.
Oh, my God.
It makes your life much easier.
Are you that?
And then close the door.
Are you that guy?
Or hand them a pencil.
Hey, where are those?
Here, do better in school.
Where are those kids going? They're going back home to get some eggs. Mr. Musselman's house is going to get it. Yeah.
Go ahead. I got a lot of plastic in my garage.
him and that punk ass advice he's giving out on Halloween. Just give him a candy bar. Come on, that was awesome. Going out and getting all that candy.
No.
When you were
give
a kid,
him like one. Give him like a. Give him a peppermint. That's wrapped in plastic that you get at a cheap restaurant. Just one.
Why? Here's one. Hey, Mac. I like Halloween. I'm not exactly sure, and I don't know that you particularly want to comment on it, but for whatever reason, it seems like something the Gunner just talked about has become more and more prevalent on Halloween. And that is the skimpy pirate outfit. Is that just me?
Yeah.
Or is that a broader trend in the culture as you know it? You know what? I don't get invited to too many Halloween parties for whatever reason. Nobody says, hey, let's invite Mac. So I don't really know. I couldn't comment on that. Mike tends to be more socially popular than me. So, Mike, would you say that's a trend?
Yeah, the skimpy pirate costume is always a favorite for girls. You know, the new Wonder Woman costume is fantastic, too.
Wonder Woman?
I'm all down for the Wonder Woman costume.
Why does Wonder Woman have a new costume?
Well, no, because the movie's out, so everybody's buying everybody's going as the Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay. I mean, you recommended the movie, but I have yet to see it.
And if you need to see and remind you what that looks like, then just Google search what her name is, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot?
Yeah. And look at Wonder Woman there. And it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, Linda Carter used Wonder to be... Woman. Linda Carter used to be Wonder Woman, yes?
Yeah, she did it well, too.
All right. And so this is like the new Justice League version of it, right?
Yeah. Catwoman is a good costume. That's a good one.
So you would agree with the emailer that the skimpy costume with sexual overtones is an increasing trend on Halloween? You would say it?
Yeah, the French maid, the nurse. Oh, I mean, it's all.
What is up with that? And so you have to dress up like Quasimodo so she can do that? Is that the deal?
Yeah, probably.
Are men suckers or what?
Yeah, men are stupid.
You know what? Women just must get together and just laugh. Like, oh my God. Let me tell you what I got him to do, okay?
Yeah.
And here's all I told him that I would do. Pathetic.
Yeah, you see, as long as you know, like I know. So I'm in the know now. I have awoken and my eyes are open, so I know what they're up to all the time.
Oh, so you're on to them?
Yeah, I'm on to them. I know their game.
So you point to your eyes and then point to them. I'm on to you. I'm watching. Don't try to.
Yeah, so I make it. Don't let them know that you're on to them because then they'll switch up the game.
Oh, all right. That makes sense. I like that. So just position yourself accordingly. Don't let them know that you've cracked, you know.
Yeah.
You've cracked their code.
Because, you know, women are not complicated. Not at all. And here's the reason why.
Why?
Look at what's popular in women's shows on TV. You know? the real world of Beverly Housewives or whatever it's called.
Whatever that is.
You know, those are the things that women like drama. They like stupidity. They like fighting. They like this quarrelsome, you know, they like Kim Kardashian. So they're not that complicated at all. They actually think that they are. But when you look at what they like to watch, and it has to be meaningless. And then they're entertained. So be meaningless. It's when you try and act sophisticated and everything else, you confuse them.
You know, that is moderately disturbing what you just said, but the popularity of those programs is testament. So your argument is based in fact.
Yeah. Everything I say is based in fact. No. My facts.
No, but that fact is it's non-refutable. The popularity of those programs. All right. Okay, so I'll ask you this. Most popular TV shows
for women.
For women. 2017. And we'll see how many you can name.
Oh, they're probably all the Real Housewives. Dallas, New Jersey, Miami, Atlanta.
Most popular shows, I don't see. Best TV shows for women. List the top series. This is old. I'm looking for a date because number one is Sex and the City. That's big.
Well, okay, they're promiscuous, you know, something that they're not, they don't want to be. It's a social taboo. Anything that's a social taboo for women, they're interested. They like to watch it, but they don't want to portray that.
Yeah, this is old. Friends, Downton Abbey, Gilmore Girls.
That's really old.
Gilmore Girls, Golden Girls, Buffy the Vampire, Desperate Housewives. I haven't seen.
Yeah, that's real old.
Yeah. All right. Let me find. This is from TV Insider. Most popular TV shows of 2017 so far.
Okay.
I don't like it. I want to find it broken down by. I haven't seen any of these shows. Number one, Game of Thrones.
Well, because, yeah. I mean, it's the same as men, though, because it's soft porn.
Right. That's number one. And I think that's male-driven, though. Number two, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The whole,
that's male-driven. This is all male shit.
I know. The whole zombie thing, right? Come on,
yeah.
Man. That's the stupidest shit. Pretty Little Liars. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I think my daughter and my wife used to watch it. They don't watch it anymore.
No, really?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
What other ones?
I'm trying to find the right list. And broken down for women. Because I think that you'd be absolutely positively spot on relative to your assessment, which doesn't happen often. Most popular TV shows for women for millennials, for 5-year-olds, from the 60s, for toddlers, for women. Why is that so difficult?
Yeah.
It's giving me the same stupid stuff. Best TV shows for women. That's most watched this week. 21 TV shows every woman needs to watch. Mike, what am I doing wrong?
I don't know.
Because that's a pretty basic question, don't you think?
Yeah.
Why don't they want to tell us?
Because they don't want us to know. Then they're going to be on to them.
Then, that's right. It's one thing they don't want. They don't want us to be on to them.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's oof.
Hold on. Let me read you an email. I'm sitting here at my desk laughing because that is a portrait that women don't want painted. The portrait that gets painted if you put the top shows that women watch. All right. But before we talk about, let's talk about what men watch. What do men watch?
Sports.
Game of Thrones, because it is softcore pornography.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to come out. You can
say sex and violence. Yeah. Right. Oh, I'm a big Game of Thrones person. It's just, you're a pervert. That's all you are. And you're just trying to look for, you know, a suitable a place to talk, you know. Oh, yeah.
HBO just legitimized it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just said
that. That's what's wrong with everything, man. Everybody likes that kind of stuff.
Everybody.
So they look for venues or avenues that make it look okay. Yep.
Most popular TV shows by demographic. That's what I did wrong.
Oh.
TV ratings, media behavior, demographics, library, racial and ethnic groups. Do you ever watch email? Does the Gunner ever watch Duck Dynasty?
Who?
Duck Dynasty? You ever watch that?
Oh, that's those bearded guys down there in Alabama, Mississippi, or shit like that, right?
Yeah, I think it's Mississippi. No. It's across the Louisiana border.
No, Gunner does not watch them.
Gunner does not watch them. I cannot find the most popular TV shows watched by women, which you would think would be a very, very simple thing to do. And I think it's an absolute joke. And I'm not happy about it because it's, let's see. Top shows, okay? Expanded Nielsen ratings. And this is for everybody. Number one, American Idol. Number two, American Idol. Number three, House.
House.
House. Oh, this is 2000. Never heard of that. This is 2007. Sorry, 2007. I'm struggling. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
The are you at the range yet?
Yeah, I'm in the house right now.
You're in the house. I like that.
Yeah. Well, see, I like organization. So the range house isn't quite organized the way it should be. So that's why we were laughing about it. Brenda, Ron's wife, she was giving him a hard time saying Mike's going to be there to fix everything because he doesn't like disarray. So that's why I have these animal shelves because we got animal everywhere in this place. So I want to put everything neat, orderly, you know, 9mm with 9mm, 44, 357, 762, 280, whatever, all the ammunition, label it all so it's all, you can see it, you know where it's at, it can easy to get to, but I like organization.
Come on, well, when we talk about ammunition and shooting, I mean, how could you even function where ammunition is everywhere? And it's not organized.
Yeah, that was my job in the Marine Corps, right, for crying out loud.
And you would walk in and shit's everywhere, oh, right? I mean,
I used to lose my mind.
Yeah, you wouldn't even get to shooting, right? You would just say stop.
Right.
Stop.
Come here, idiot. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly how that would sound. Okay, let me ask you another question that somebody just emailed. Mac, ask the gunner what he thinks about rats in the exchange in 29 Palms and nobody getting fired. Yeah.
Well, you already asked me that.
Nobody got fired.
I know. So what? Big deal. They're just rats.
Rats are people too? Is that what you're going to tell me?
No, I mean, why are we hating on rats?
Because they're disgusting.
Well, people are disgusting. We live with them. There's a lot of people. There's probably some rats that I would live with more than people. So.
No, I'm not going for that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still irritated about all of this, that I can't find the most popular TV shows for women. And it's irritating me.
Ammo on the windowsill? Come on, guys. Really?
Yeah,
I got a plastic bag full of 22 in magazine. Come on. Come on. 410 ammunition, 20 gauge, and 12 gauge in the same box. Oh, gonna go crazy.
I just read a headline. Part of Netflix House of Cards might live on after the series ends. Oh,
what's House of Cards?
I guess Kevin Spacey, this whole...
Oh, yeah, he came out and said he was gay because he got busted for hitting on a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, so Netflix cancels the series, but it's not like we're going to flush all that revenue down the tubes, are we? What are we...
Yeah, we're not throwing, that's free money, man.
Yeah. What are we, crazy?
Yeah. I mean, what?
Come on.
I mean, sure, we have ethics, but when it comes to money.
Hello.
Stupid.
Right. Yeah. To me, it's like the NBA and the national anthem protest.
Right.
Yeah. look, we're, you know, we're totally down with the NFL players, but we're not going to do it because that shit's jacking their business up.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so good luck to them. I hope they can get their asses out of it some way, shape, or form. Hey, Mike, here's what I was thinking. And then, right, the guys who play for Houston, they get pissed because their owner makes some kind of comment about the inmates, you know, can't run the asylum or the jail or whatever he said. So
right.
Of all the different ways we can express that we're unhappy, what's the one that we choose? Let's be disrespectful to the flag. Like, what?
Well, it's popular right now.
What? Is that the go-to? That's the go-to solution whenever I'm unhappy. Let's be disrespectful to the flag. And a little bit ago, I read what Rocky Blyer said. Now, Rocky Blyer, Mike might recall, but for those of you who don't, he's a four-time Super Bowl winning running back, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. However, he fought in Vietnam as an officer of the United States Army, wounded and the recipient of the Bronze Star. And Rocky Blyer pretty matter-of-factly said, wait, can you go to work and air out your political point of view while you're at work? The answer to that is no. They shouldn't be allowed to do that either. They can express whatever they want after work. It's not an infringement of their First Amendment rights. They can still express themselves. You just can't do it at work. Very few people can. And he said it's not a difficult thing. So he said the NFL needs to assert itself and it needs to get its business in order. So I thought it pretty interesting. But I just found it interesting that, you know, how are we gonna deal with the fact that our owner said something stupid? Oh, we're gonna kneel down. We're gonna be disrespectful. Here's Mac, gun question.
Okay.
I heard your little discussion about modular stocks.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I had never really gone and checked them out. I was blown away. The comfort of those stocks relative to your eye relief and not having to move your cheek on a weapon, pretty amazing. The weapons that I picked up, and I spent some time adjusting the stock and adjusting what I would call the cheek relief, which positioned my eye, it was the most natural feeling weapon I've ever had in my shoulder.
Right.
I was absolutely astounded by it. Thanks for that little segment. Does the gunner have any other pointers relative to modular stocks before I go out and purchase one? You got a favorite brand, Mike?
Well, if you're gonna add it to an existing gun, then look at the, like you said, the Magpul stuff.
Magpul.
They're the best. Yeah, they're the best. Don't go with the problem is people with this cheap stuff. You know, like this Korean or Taiwan fly by night. It looks cool, but they're just cheap. You're not gonna get the same performance. So spend a couple extra bucks, get the damn Magpul. You're going to be happy with it. And it's just a good all-around stock. You're really going to enjoy it.
Magpul. Mike always says, relative to anything guns, you get what you pay for. So if you want to buy cheap,
absolutely.
You want to buy cheap shit, you're going to get cheap shit.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like,
if you're into the cheap shit, then go for the cheap shit, man. I'm not gonna tell you any different.
Magpul though is Magpul. They're the ones that made the magazine that we talked about that doesn't function at 90 below zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So when you're operating at 90 below zero, make sure you bring a U.S. magazine.
Here's another one, Mac. Can we do Q&A right now? Answer to that is sure, we can do it. Question one, what do you think is the greatest combat achievement of the Marine Corps? Mike?
For me, I would say
the Chosin Reservoir.
I would say Guadalcanal.
Why?
just because they were, you know, it was been a long time since they'd done that stuff. Well, they'd never done it on a large scale. So that was a pivotal moment in World War II that really turned the tide. So, yeah, that would be for me. Children of Crest War, no, I agree with you. That was a pretty spectacular achievement as well, but I would say Guadalcanal.
Well, I would say the two are they have similar strains in them, in that the Marine Corps goes to Guadalcanal, right, and not really proficient at amphibious warfare, not even close to it. Get ashore, right. They get blasted, the Navy gets blasted, the Navy takes off, they're there, hunkering down, essentially abandoned, and they endure there, and they triumph, ultimately. When you look into that, that was pretty grim stuff on Guadalcanal.
And, no, I get you. Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then similar strains in at the Chosin Reservoir surrounded the weather. And to me, what's amazing is what the 5th Marines and 7th Marines did just to fight to get back to the division is amazing.
Yeah.
And then the whole division fight surrounded down to the coast, which in of itself amazing. But I would tell you those pretty similar things. Those two events, pretty incredible, moments in Marine Corps history. Marine Corps got a lot of them. But I think the rest of them, I don't know that the situation, it's interesting that Mike and I would pick those two. I don't know that the situation in most of them was ever in doubt. You know, the question was how much blood was going to get spilled, but on Guadalcanal and at the Chosin, the situation was in doubt.
Right.
There was no shit in doubt. So, interesting.
Yeah. It went both ways.
Interesting. Next question. Who do you think is the greatest leader in Marine Corps history? Ooh.
Greatest leader, Vandegrift.
Why?
Just everything that he did with the Marine Corps and the fights that he fought here in the homeland for the Corps and everything else. So, not necessarily all that got to be combat.
Who do I think?
Different type of war he fought and he won.
Yeah. I would have to think about that. First of all, General Lejeune's handprints are still all over the Marine Corps. He was
on the East Coast. Just because they named a base after him, don't give him, he's a good dude. But I mean, shit, man, he's no Vandegrift. Sure, he's no Chesty Puller, and I'm not a really big fan of Chesty Puller.
Yeah, I'm not either. The let's see. I would have to get
so
up some
funny,
thought. Who was the?
Oh, General Lejeune.
No,
and you pronounced it right too.
Thank you.
Lejeune.
No, it's not.
I'm not French.
No,
I'm not French. I'm American.
Okay, but how do you pronounce your name?
Let's do it. It's Musulman because it's German. It's Musulman.
Okay, so so when they say it's Lejeune, when they pronounce it Lejeune, then why would you say Lejeune? That would be like me saying Musulman when I talk about you. That's not how you say your name.
But that's the proper way to say it.
No, it doesn't matter. It's you. However, you tell me. So McNamara. Is that how my name should be said? Well, that's the problem. Well, that's not the way he said it, and it belongs to him. It's my name.
Yeah, I'm calling McNamara.
It's Mac.
McNamara.
It's my name. It's McNamara. That's the way I say it. So it doesn't matter.
Like
it does. Nothing else matters. Okay. It's the way he said it. All right. Next question for you. Tell everybody about your new DNA awakening. Tell everybody what you.
Oh, we don't have time for that now.
How long will it take? Is that a long?
That's a story. Yeah.
So we got to wait till
Let's
Thursday?
Let's save that for Thursday.
Okay, we'll just.
Let's do nothing but
okay.
DNA talk on Thursday.
All DNA talk on Thursday. Okay, we'll do that. What about, okay, so just give us a little tease. Tell everybody what you did. You don't have to tell everybody.
My daughter for my birthday bought me the the DNA testing thing, you know, to see your ancestry. I was kind of like, eh, I was curious, but I really didn't kind of, really wasn't into it at first. But it was really cool. I mean, we got the results back, and I'm not shocked because I was told that my whole life, that what these things, what I am, and turns out, voila, that's what I am.
So has it impacted your life in any way yet? I mean, you just got the results, you know, last weekend, right?
I've been bugging you guys by talking like that old 1950 Indian movie stuff.
So it has had a bit of an effect on you, yes?
Yeah, more you guys than me. I'm just like having fun.
Yeah, I was driving, I'm not gonna lie to you. It was starting to wear on me. Out of the blue, he would come out with these pronouncements. How was it?
The color box speak of white men talking evil. Speak the words of evil on the color box.
And so Montana Man's not really paying attention, and all of a sudden he says, "Why is Gunner talking like this?" I said, "Don't ask."
And you say, "Don't ask."
Don't
ask him a question.
Don't ask him anything. Do not ask him a question about this. And so what does he do? What do you mean? Why is he talking like that? Here we go. Now we're going to get the mule lecture again.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right. Are you almost done straight? How many hours is this going to take you?
Oh, man. I'm, like, uncovering a lot of stuff. So it's starting to be like, okay, this is cleaning equipment. This should be with cleaning gear, not with ammo. So this has got to go over here. This has got to go over there. Okay, we'll fix this. Maybe an hour or so.
Are you going to go get some signs made to put up to say, to give?
No, I already have all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Anything else? You got any big plans the rest of the day?
No, just straighten up the range house. Dragon, can you hear that?
Yes.
He's dragging the ammo locker. Yeah.
That's all ammunition? Okay.
This is empty.
Oh. Okay, prediction time.
This is going inside.
Game 6 of the World Series tonight.
I'm excited.
Give me a score.
Give me a prediction?
Yes.
I told you. 6-2, and Verlander lasts till the 7th, and Astros win.
Okay. All right. Mac goes 3-2 Dodgers. Verlander goes to the 7th. The Astros bullpen coughs the lead up, and the Dodgers win. And we get game. And we get game 7.
Okay, we'll see. It's going to be a good game no matter what. So.
I think the premise of the question is unfair. How do you pick one of the hundreds of thousands of corporals to generals that added to the legacy? Two that awed me when they walked into the room, General Barrow, Lieutenant General Peterson. You felt their presence.
Lieutenant General Peterson, never knew that guy. Who is that guy?
He just passed away recently. He was... he was a fighter pilot, Vietnam era guy.
And I'm not taking away these guys what they did. I mean, just saying, if you're asking me, I'm looking for, like I said, Vandergrift to me did more for the Marine Corps, not only in combat, but on Capitol Hill and everything else, the fight he fought for the Marine Corps that got us where we are today.
That's an interesting question. I might have to sew that into a lot of the interviews I did. Greatest Marine leader, in your opinion, and greatest Marine combat event, in your opinion. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll have to start keeping results of that. All right. Any final words?
No, have fun today.
Have fun. Yeah, turn off the news, live your life, have fun.
Yeah, and if you're in Texas, come to the range house. Come help me fix this thing up.
You know what? Gunner's in his element, though. He's happy, you can tell. He's playing with ammunition, and he's getting a little surly because of the way people are throwing ammunition around. Shit's going to get straight,
and they're going to hear about it. I could tell you. So, hey, Range House getting locked on.
Getting cleaned up.
Getting cleaned up. Shit's going to get tight. All right, man. Have a good day. Thanks for the visit. Talk to you Thursday.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All DNA. Happy Halloween. There you have it. Michael Musselman doing his thing. Happy as a clam right now. Happy as a clam. That'll do it. Pretty interesting little discussion about the AUMF. The authorization of military force. First of all, it's largely a moot, not mute. I love when people say that. It's a mute point. What? It's a mute point, Mac. No, it's not, you dumbass. Because if it was a mute point, it would hear nothing and say nothing. By virtue of the fact that it reverberates, it's not mute. What? You're stupid. Stop saying that in mixed company. Yeah. I would tell you the best thing about Halloween. Is pictures of little kids. Little kids are hilarious on Halloween. I mean, some of the cutest pictures we have of our kids are on Halloween. Here's some funny stuff. My oldest son, John, he thought he was a ninja, I think, at one point in his life. Yes. I think he had some mild mental health issues as a kid. But you see him in his Halloween pictures over the years, and he's a ninja every year. But it's the look that he has on his face. Like, he's not wearing a costume, okay? He is a ninja, okay? And then Patrick standing next to him, he's like wearing a costume, you can tell. But, yeah, Patrick had this purple dinosaur costume with a tail. And it's hilarious. But the best, probably, picture Patrick ever took on Halloween, he took a couple years ago. He dressed up as a penguin, went into some thrift shop, and he was in, I think it's San Diego, I'm not sure. I think it was San Diego. It might have been Arizona when he was in school. I think it's San Diego. But anyway, yeah, he was a penguin. Yeah, great picture. The girls, hilarious costumes. Catherine has a little picture of her. She had a lion's head on. She just, I think that's Colleen, just worn out, tired from hoofing it, getting candy. And when you live in like North Dakota, man, the elements are a part of it. It's freezing ass cold. So sometimes you go to malls and they have things set up. Or you can do it the old fashioned way, man. You can go out and earn that candy. Little kids bundled up, their costume thrown over their cold weather clothes. Yeah, fingers cold and shaken, but they're after that candy, man. They'll take a little bit of frostbite for some candy, no doubt. Yeah, so if you get a chance, shoot an email. live.allmarineradio.com live.allmarineradio@gmail.com Okay? And who do you think? And I know that the question is a bit unfair. Greatest leader in Marine Corps history, in your opinion. And so it could be anybody. It doesn't, Not a popularity contest.
greatest leader in Marine Corps history. I'm pretty popular to... Who was a commandant that booted all the druggies out of the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era, right after it? Who was that? I'll get a list. And I'll narrow it down to who it is. Give me 1 second. I think it was Lou Wilson. Because Wilson was from July of 1975 to June of 1979. Barrow came after him. And I think, Lewis H. Wilson, recipient Medal of Honor. Bob Barrow. Barrow, Navy Cross winner? Twice, I think. Hold on. Lou Wilson, Medal of Honor winner, Purple Heart with 2 gold stars. Here's his Medal of Honor citation. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as a commanding officer of F Company, 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines, 3rd Marine Division in action against Japanese forces at Font Hill in Guam, Marianas Island, 26 July 1945. Ordered to take that portion of the hill within his zone of action, Captain Wilson initiated the attack in the mid-afternoon, pushed up the rugged open terrain against terrific machine gun and rifle fire for 300 yards, successfully captured the objective, promptly assuming command of other disorganized units and motorized equipment in addition to his own company and 1 reinforcing platoon, he organized his night defenses in the face of continuous hostile fire and, although wounded 3 times during this 5-hour period, completed his disposition of men and guns before retiring to the company command post for medical attention. Shortly thereafter, when the enemy launched the first of a series of savage counterattacks lasting all night, he voluntarily rejoined his besieged units and repeatedly exposed himself to merciless hail of shrapnel and bullets, dashing 50 yards into the open on one occasion to rescue a wounded Marine lying helpless beyond the front lines. Fighting fiercely in hand-to-hand encounters, he led his men furiously, waged battle for approximately 10 hours, tenaciously holding his line and repelling the fanatically renewed counterattacks until he succeeded in crushing the last efforts of the hard-pressed Japanese early the following morning. Then, organizing a 17-man patrol, he immediately advanced upon a strategic slope essential to the security of his position and boldly defying intense mortar and machine gun and rifle fire. Then this is after being wounded at least 3 times, which struck down 13 of his men, drove relentlessly forward with the remnants of his patrol to seize the vital ground. By his indomitable leadership, daring combat tactics, and dauntless valor in the face of overwhelming odds, Captain Wilson succeeded in capturing and holding the strategic high ground in his regimental sector, thereby contributing essentially to the success of his regiment's mission and the annihilation of 350 Japanese troops. That's not a bad night's work. I believe it was Wilson. Who opened the door and said, "I don't care if it's me, my driver, get him out of here." Barrow, his decorations include the Navy Cross, Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star, Silver Star times 1, Bronze Star with a Gold Star, and a combat V. These guys were giants in the Marine Corps. This is my memory about the anti-drug push. Around 1981, an EA-6B crashed on a carrier deck on landing, which killed several service members, and the subsequent investigation showed multiple people had drugs in their systems. Surveys showed 49% of enlisted sailors and Marines were using drugs. After that, we started going after drugs hard. Yeah, you know what? I need to do a little bit of I need to do a little bit of research into that, because that was a huge event in Marine Corps history. Just say, get them out of here. Get them out of here. And we're not doing this anymore. So, anyway. All right, that'll do it on a Monday. This program repeats itself momentarily. So, if you have greatest combat action in the Marine Corps, and it could be, you know, whatever you feel it is, just an opinion question. And then the greatest leader. I you know, greatest Marine leader. That's a hard one. But again, the greatest Marine leader that you know of. Mine's going to be modern. And after giving it a little bit of thought, I would tell you, General Anthony M. Zinni. I think he's the man. Boom. Zinni. In the pantheon of heroes. Both while on active duty and then after he got off active duty. So, there you have it. McNamara. McNamara says Zinni. I'll defend the shit out of that one. All right. We're going to take a break. This program repeats itself momentarily after going about 11 minutes over. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. If you're going to go with your kids, make sure you get home early. Go tag along with your wife and watch the funny little critters do their thing. Happy Halloween. We'll see you tomorrow.